It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, everyone. We're so excited about our interview today, but before we jump into it, we're going to set the tone for our show with some live music. Sit back and enjoy.
Let it be.
Dear Lord,
let it be.
Let it be.
name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show on The Word 100.7 FM. And I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray. She is co-hosting today. Vicki and I have volunteered together and tackled so many things in life together. Thank you so much for joining us today, Vicki.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited about our show today.
We have a good one. This show, Every Heart, Every Woman, it is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find more information about Love Ministries on their website. It's loveministriesbuilds.org. And thank you so much again, Vicki, for co-hosting. And we have a good friend of yours.
Yes.
Her name is Carolyn Allen. And Carolyn is a national author and speaker. She shares the lessons she's learned about leadership while being married to the head football coach, Randy Allen. Randy is the head football coach of Highland Park High School. So, Carolyn, we're so excited that you are here and that you've joined us, and we're going to have a great conversation with you today.
Thanks, Carla. Well, I'm just going to jump right in. I'm so excited that you're here today, Carolyn. It's always fun to see you. And Carolyn and I met each other, goodness, probably 5 or 6 years ago when we both worked at University Park Elementary. And I knew nothing about Carolyn, and she knew nothing about me. And we happened one day to sit together at lunch. And I'm not sure how the conversation started, but Carolyn shared her testimony about how she came to the Lord. And I have never forgotten that story. And then as I got to know her more and more, I found that she's a faithful woman and does Bible studies and has a website and has written a book. And she's just amazing. And so, Carolyn, I'm excited to have a conversation with you today. Carla and I both are. But I wanted to start with, if you wouldn't mind sharing your testimony.
Well, what a blessing. I was in high school, and my parents divorced when I was 7. I was an only child, and my mom was Jewish, my father Catholic.
Yes.
And they loved me, but they didn't ever really talk about God with me very much. Mm. I did go to Jewish Sunday school, but then when my dad had left and didn't live with us, my mom didn't drive a car, which was really unusual, but we had no transportation really to go. And so I started going to the Catholic church with my best friend, and I could walk. And I loved hearing everything, and I felt like I was getting close to God, but I just had so many questions. So when I was in high school, I became a cheerleader, which became a big part of my life and my testimony, because the girl that asked me to spend the night with her was a cheerleader a year older than me. And we were at her house one night when I was 16, and in the dark, you know, where the twin beds are in the shape of an
yes.
L, we're talking in the dark, and I ask her all these questions. And she just had answers. Her family was very faithful, churchgoers and Christians, and I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about her other than that I really looked up to her. So she answered all my questions, and she told me so clearly how, if I believed in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross, that all the shame and the guilt and all of that I felt in my life that I didn't know what to do with, you know, I would be forgiven and that I could be promised eternal life. So it was just glorious. I mean, as soon
Amen.
As I prayed with her, I just felt free.
Mm-hmm. What a
and
blessing.
It was. And I just felt like my life just started on a new direction. I had such a hunger to read God's Word. Back then, of course, it was that Green Living Bible.
Yes.
Right.
But it
yes.
was so
we
easy.
Had one of those.
We did too.
That's
yes.
right. It was so easy
yes.
to read. And so, and truly, my life did completely change. You know,
yes.
I couldn't wait when I would go off to college and I could do Bible studies and I would be with different people. I mean, I had a great experience in high school. We won the state championship.
Ah.
We played in Texas Stadium.
Wow.
And there was a coach that lived across the street that took me to school. He and his daughters would take me to school, and I got to see up close what it was like to be a coaching family, and they were so happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, all of that was part of what God was
planning.
Working in my life.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. To where you are right now. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
That, you know, that really makes me think of how important the family unit is, church youth group is, other nonprofit organizations like Love Ministries that train, you know, young people, because you came to the Lord because your friend was able to answer these questions.
Yes, it was so natural for her.
That's
because
huge.
She loved Jesus so mm-hmm. much. In fact, she's the only person I've ever known that has told me that when she wanted to feel close to the Lord, she'd just lay the bath mat down and she would kneel in front of her bathtub. That was her altar.
Wow.
Wow. Mm. How powerful at that age, yes. too. That's amazing. Well, one of the other, well, thank you for sharing that, because I love that story, and it's always just touched me. And the other thing that I love about you that I had gotten to know over the years was how you have really been able to walk alongside Randy as a coach's wife and really walk this journey with him very faithfully together and united when it's chaotic at times. Carla and I both know what that's like. I'm married to an athletic director. Carla's husband formerly had been a football coach, a principal, and now he's a superintendent of a school district.
Yes.
And so we're familiar with chaotic schedules and how do we walk alongside our husbands and be committed and a happy wife, you know,
yes.
along the crazy times.
Yes.
And you've just done that so graciously and feel so strongly about that. And I know you've written a book about being a coach's wife. And so would you mind sharing a little bit about your journey? Because how long have you and Randy now been married?
We've been married 42 years. 40,
I knew it was 40, but okay,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
I know, I hesitate to say that because
Why?
Then I think, well, younger wives just put you in another category. It's
right.
like, oh, I can't relate. And who does that? But it's so much fun, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really proud that we've had good examples around us to help us through it, too.
That is fantastic.
But, you know, a lot of times you know how coaches' wives are. They'll be with their coach and they'll say, honey, I think you love football more than me.
Mm.
And then he'll turn and say, well, college or pro? So,
that's
I mean,
great.
You know, they just live in that zone.
Right.
And that's just
right.
the way it is. But Randy truly loves me generously.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He is so kind. And I'm glad that he's wanted me to be beside him
right.
at a lot of functions, at the games. I mean, I have to be careful not to ask too many questions and act like it's my job.
Right.
You know, that's how I have to step back.
Mm-hmm.
But I love being part of it. It's a fun world.
It is, and I think it's more of a lifestyle than a job.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And
being married to an ex-football coach, it, you know, one of the things that I loved about, not loved as in past, but when I met my husband, Roosevelt, he just had a way with teenagers and specifically young men. They listened to his every word, every joke he told.
Yes.
They cracked up laughing.
Yes.
You know, his boys, they didn't have to walk in a line. You know, he wasn't like, mm-hmm. get in a line, guys. They were just walking around him, very casual. He just, I don't know, it was like that was his passion. That
mm-hmm.
was what the Lord had given him to do. And you know, it's such a blessing to see your husband live in that.
Mm-hmm. And he loves being around those young men and making a difference in their life. And I see that with Tim as well, him being at the collegiate level and the same with his student athletes, just loves being around them.
Mm-hmm.
And same, they laugh at all of those jokes.
Right.
Not sure why, but
right.
they do.
They know they might have to run if they don't.
That's true. That's true. Or do some push-ups or do something in a sand pit.
Right.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about what led you to write your book?
Well, Randy and I had probably for maybe 10 different summers had gone to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, summer marriage conferences, and we ended up being, they called them huddle leaders when you were just a small group leader. So at the time, before the book kind of came to be, we lived in Abilene, and the conference was in Conroe. So that was about a six-hour drive. So we're driving home after the conference. We had led these groups, and I was telling Randy some of the things that the women talked about. And he was surprised. You know, it was a lot of venting, of course, that goes on because you're in a safe environment. And he said, you know, there really needs to be a book like that, because think about how many coaches' wives are in a small community.
Right.
They are that maybe on that staff, there's no other married couples sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, it just varies everywhere. So he kind of planted that seed. I think at the time I wasn't 40 yet, and I had always heard you need to be 40 before you write a book. But I was close. And we had gone to a lot of national conventions, and so I knew a lot of coaches' wives around the country. Now, of course, this is 1994, so this is before the internet.
Okay.
Oh, right.
This is before,
yes, before
you
really
would. So when I wanted to put out a survey to other coaches' wives, I had to mail it in the mail with a stamp.
Okay.
And I have to hope that people were going to send it back. But thankfully, that was before people had a survey for everything that you do, like
right,
we do
right.
nowadays. And I probably got 150 of them back.
Oh.
I heard from Tom Osborne's wife and Grant Taft's wife,
wow,
and so many people that were really heroes to me at that time. So the book wasn't going to be about me. It was going to be about what do other coaches' wives feel like, you know, when their husband's away, when
you're in the middle of the season,
sure,
and it's crazy and they're staying late for watching tape, or, you know, plotting and planning with coaches for the next week.
She said plotting.
I'm like, strategizing.
You know what I mean.
Well, and then when you hear criticism in the stands,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely,
it's just the media,
oh,
how
yeah.
you deal with the media. There's so many things. And anyway, they kind of fell into about 12 different chapters, and it was a lot of fun. But before I had gotten started, I called a friend who had written a book before, and I thought, okay, I'll ask him who to call. And he gave me a couple of names of publishers. And I called one of them, and he says, well, just send me a first chapter. Well, I mean, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, he just to see if it was going to work.
Right.
And he marketed to athletic audiences. He was
okay.
a Christian. He worked for FCA, and it turned out to be pretty easy. Now, writing a book, even nowadays, I mean, it's unless a publisher comes to you,
right,
you're not going to be making a lot of money.
No.
In fact, you're going to be spending a lot of money
right.
in order
to
make it happen.
And make it happen, right, and get it out there.
But that's okay,
right.
you know. And it's really been a fun thing. The book is called The Coach's Wife because
yes.
that's what the publisher named it.
Okay.
Now, when I asked Randy what I should name it, he said you should call it The Naked Truth of Living with a Pigskin.
Oh, I love it. The Naked Truth of Living with a Pigskin.
Anything naked would
yes.
have sold
yes.
better, probably. Anyway.
That's very creative.
Yeah.
It is. And
good.
So you have a study with the book. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I actually did not write the study.
Okay.
I thought it was a good idea to have a study, but it was another coach's wife that actually took the book with her small group, and she lived in Central Texas, and she wrote it, really, and then got in touch with me and said, well, I've kind of done these questions, and what do you think about it? And I said, well, let me, you know, just send it to me. And I had a couple of friends that were actually going to DTS look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was great, so we just had that printed. So now it's a little study combo that I can send out.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
I think
very
that's
nice,
fantastic.
Very nice. This, you know, I don't know, this is how my brain works. So for all the ladies who are listening, this is, you really described a recipe for just how you take your own life and your own experiences, and you make it into a ministry. And this is a ministry for women together and go through this study together. That's, you know, you've created a roadmap for us all.
Well, and it's a unique life, which mm-hmm. I love that you have really focused on, well, obviously the life you live as a coach's wife, but it is such a unique life to be married to a coach and to find ways to glorify God through that job can be difficult, I think. Mm-hmm. And then for women to be able to continue to glorify God in the wake of craziness in the season or moments in your marriage, because it can be rocky when you're mm-hmm. lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, through the years, I've seen some sad situations happen because of that loneliness. So, you know, always trying to keep your eyes on Him. And I actually, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, why haven't I bought this book for my coaches' wives, which I will be doing now that right. I'm thinking, I think right. all of them need to have one.
Right.
And from moving forward, even, I'm thinking any new coaches' wife that comes in my life, I just need to go ahead and get that book for them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I love that. So how do you navigate now? I mean, after 42 years of marriage and, you know, you and Randy obviously know each other well and you both love the Lord and you just came off of a state championship also wearing that beautiful pendant today. I'm so happy for you. What's different now than from back when you first started coaching with your walk with the Lord and how you keep it together and yeah. you communicate?
Well, it's just better than ever because mm-hmm. I think there's enough things that happen that keep you humble mm-hmm. and you make enough mistakes that you see I can't just learn something once. I'm going to have to learn it again.
Yes.
I have to go back to the Lord. We need to both work on our communication skills all the time.
That never ends?
No, I keep thinking
it will.
I was hoping
that there would be a point where we would just get that,
that
100%. Right.
Yeah, you can arrive. But when we... Randy's second head coaching job was in Brownwood, Texas. And at the time, the head coach that was retiring there at age 72 was named Gordon Wood. And he had won more games. He'd won almost 400 games.
Oh, goodness.
And so he was the legend at
right.
that time. And Randy was 36 years old. So we're going in there, and I think I want to meet Mrs. Wood because mm-hmm. she's going to tell me how you can be a good coach's wife. And so I go over to her house. She was just a very simple, sweet lady. And I asked her that question, and she said, just be a good wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, I was ready for all kinds of a list of things
right.
that I was going to write down and do. And so, honestly, I've had people tell me after they've read my book that it's really just about being a good wife. It's
mm-hmm.
not... There's not any secrets. It's just respecting your husband.
Right.
And wanting to, and appreciating his calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see that he mm-hmm. has a calling on his life, then you know that that is a ministry, just
right.
like you said.
Right.
And the big question, probably for a coach's wife, is his calling my calling?
Yes. Mm.
That's a big question.
That's a
nowadays,
very big one.
Because careers are more of a factor
sure.
as far as with moves and identity and roles and, you know, everything is so individualistic.
Right.
You know, I'm now Carolyn Allen all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm not Mrs. Randy Allen
right.
like
right.
I was when I first got married.
Right.
Yes.
You know, everybody has their own cell phone, their own passwords. You know, it's so some women don't like the idea of saying that his calling's my calling. I need to have my own calling, which is true, and I do feel like I have my own calling. But I do love being part of his world and seeing good things happen.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. And I think let's take a break for just a few minutes, and we're going to jump right back in right there. Thank you so much, Carolyn Allen, for being here. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show on The Word 100.7 FM. I'm your host, Carla Nivens. Joining me today is my good friend, Vicki McMurray. She's co-hosting with me today. Thank you so much, Vicki.
You're welcome.
And Vicki and I are talking with Vicki's close friend, Carolyn Allen. So, Carolyn, when we went to break, we were just really about to dive in, and I want to just kind of pick back up where we were about this notion of how do you find your calling and your purpose in life, and how you can feel like, yes, I'm pleasing God with my life, with what I'm doing in the midst of your husband's busy career. Just give us your advice.
Well, nowadays, of course, women have so many choices, and aren't we blessed? I mean,
right.
All the doors are open to us.
Absolutely.
So the thing that has meant a lot to me that I read once that kind of sums up how I feel about it is in a book called The Power of a Praying Wife,
yes,
by Stormy O. Martin, and it's on page 95, and I'm just going to read one line here. It says, "God does not ask you to deny your own personhood in the process of coming alongside your husband. He has called you to something too, but it will fit in with whatever your husband's calling is. It will not be in conflict with it. God is not the author of confusion, strife, or unworkable situations. He is a God of perfect timing. There's a time for everything, the Bible says. The timing to do what God has called each of you to do will work out perfectly if it's submitted to God." Mm. And I've always thought that for a coaching marriage, that the definition of a coach's of a championship marriage is a husband and wife that support each other's dreams.
Right, right.
And I've seen that play out over and over. We have a coach and his wife now who he coaches every sport, almost every level from seventh grade through high school. Mm. And so he has a really busy schedule. And his wife is a chiropractor that has her own office. And he will spend sometimes on the weekends when he's a little bit out of season, I mean, building the props and the furniture and the things like that for her. And he celebrates her,
exactly,
in such a
right.
beautiful way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I just know that things can work.
Right.
Right. And that's like what you just read from the book. That is a perfect example of that living itself out,
mm-hmm,
and then both supporting and walking alongside each other. And I think that's the key component.
Yeah.
Is, you know, your husband supporting you as much as you are supporting your husband. And that's not always easy to do. And sometimes it's easy to get off track and
mm-hmm,
and forget that we're in this together,
right,
as our schedules get crazy and busy, mm-hmm, and we've had to have a few little reminders in my own marriage. I mean, we're not perfect.
Right.
And but I love that. I love that. So there was something you said, I believe when we were on break just a second ago, there was a piece of advice actually Randy gave you.
We were talking about how intense the community might be.
Oh, yes.
When you're
yes.
coaching some
when you're
places.
Coaching.
And we are in a fabulous community.
I yes.
mean, we've been here almost 20 years. At first, it was a little bit, I don't want to use the word intimidating but I just knew that there's a lot going on, a lot of business going on, a lot of socializing going on, a lot of spending, a lot of mm-hmm. Involvement. So it probably wasn't but a couple of weeks into it that we went over to a friend's I didn't know him. Randy knew them because he had gone to SMU and it was close to our school district. But I was asking him questions. I said, you know, I just can't quite put my finger on what this is all about. And he says, just know from now on that all you need to know about people and the here is that these are parents that love their kids.
Yes, mm. they are. Yes.
They're just parents.
They're just
and
parents.
They just love their kids.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I think as we were talking about, I mean, some people might step over the line a little bit, but for the most part, they really are very authority oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, the students show so much appreciation for those in authority. It's really remarkable.
That's wonderful.
They thank their coaches
mm-hmm.
when after they work them out hard.
Mm-hmm.
They say, thank you, coach.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know.
It's right. just wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not something you
I mean,
hear
I don't
all the
know.
Time.
So that's true. But So it's just a give and take. I mean, you have to kind of give people some grace when you know that, hey, they're emotional. I've been a parent. I remember it's like you're living in a parenthesis. And when you're a parent during those years, you're not a normal person.
No.
I mean, you're stressed for many reasons.
Right. Yes.
And you're so emotional, and it's their dreams, and it's your dreams. And, you know, and if they were giving advice to somebody else in it, they would say something objective. But when they're in it,
It's impossible. Yeah. The mama bear in me has come out.
Yes, I understand.
We love our kids. We've both walked through some things like that with our girls in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand. So I don't know if we want to lead into just real quick. We were talking about how do you handle, because all three of us have been through this with our husband's jobs. When we have very passionate parents, maybe cross a line and say some things out of passion and love for their child.
Yes.
And how do we handle that? I know you just said being gracious and providing some grace to them, but that's hard to do sometimes.
It's hard
not to personalize.
Right.
I'll say that for myself. There have been times I've heard people be critical of my husband and decisions he's made, and it's hard not to just kind of go, you know, he's doing the best he knows how to do every day to do the best he can.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard, I think.
Oh, it's very hard. I guess the first thing that I do whenever I go to games, I make sure who's around me. And I'll just be bold enough to say, okay, you know, I'm a coach's wife, so I want to meet everybody around me. You know, I just want y'all to know.
Oh, that's great.
And that helps.
I like that. Kind of heads up. I'm a coach's wife. So.
Right.
Careful about what you say, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That's a very good idea.
Well, you do have to be careful where you sit. And I sit at home games with our daughter because we really want to watch the game.
Yes.
And we go out to have chocolate milkshakes after the game with Randy's parents and, you know, whoever wants to join us someplace that stays open late. And he wants us to talk about the game. He wants to know that we were watching the game.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's an important family event.
I want to pay attention.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So did you this is a pop fly question. Can I give a pop fly question?
Sure.
So did you, like growing up, did you watch football?
Well, I did. See, that was part of the – nobody was athletic in my family.
Okay.
And I didn't have brothers or sisters, but – like I said, I cheered for a team that that won and had – it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned the game, and so it was –
You were prepared.
I was prepared.
That's how the Lord, you know, does it because I love sports. My dad and I used to sit and watch sports all the time. Now, I am a terrible athlete. You cannot – in any way, you know, since I'm so tall at 4'11 and a half, you cannot assign athlete on my name. But I love all sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy going to just, like you say, enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to have to add the milkshakes after the game.
I know. You want to celebrate. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the people in the stands, they are there for a lot of other reasons than we're there.
Sure.
And they're there as a fan, or they're there for entertainment, and they're going to leave that game, and they're not going to think about it much after that. But, oh, my goodness, that is huge. I mean, that's your paycheck.
It is.
That's your feeling of identity.
I mean, if
you're a failure or your success, I mean, it's out there in
your
front
career.
Of everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's public. It's not anything you can hide in a
you can't
on a ledger, or...
right? And they're not going to forget when you lose. and you know, even though my husband isn't a coach, he takes it to heart as much as our coaches do because he knows the amount of preparation that went into playing that game, and then it not turning out quite like you'd hoped it would. And he takes it to heart as well. It's the same in our home too. And I'm like you. I really like to watch the game, and I'm super competitive. And I didn't grow up watching sports really that much. I didn't. My brother was athletic, but I wasn't. But I love it. I absolutely love it. And I, you know, like you. have had to, and you as well, with your husband's role too, you're going to hear people make criticisms. It's just really important. I think it goes back to, obviously, God, knowing who I am, mm-hmm. that I am not the sum of the win or loss.
Yes.
You know, I am not the sum of the coach that's hired or fired or a budget decision my husband makes, mm-hmm. that that I'm all his. And that's what I have to remember. And especially when you hear passionate parents.
Right.
Or passionate fans.
Yes, yes. So, Carolyn, let us ask you this. How do you handle sharing your faith with other people or other women that you come in contact with?
Well, it seems like most opportunities, I feel like, have come to me. You know, every year I like to kind of keep my schedule open for Randy and for our children. We have both of our children live in our community, and okay. each have four children.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
eight grandkids.
Yes.
So I like to keep my time open if I can. And each year something different happens. This year, our daughter-in-law, whose name is Jenny Allen, has a ministry, and she has five interns that come to work at her office each year from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And in August, they asked me if I would do a Bible study for those interns. So that became my Tuesday mornings, and I've loved it. And so to me, that's how you share what is the most intimate thing with you,
yes,
you know,
right.
in your life. And mm-hmm. that is just how you study the Bible and how it applies, how you've seen God work in your life through mm-hmm. whatever the context that you're studying at that time. But after we studied about, 10 weeks of Abraham and Sarah and their journey, I identified in my contacts about 15 women that have taken a risk in their life
mm-hmm.
that I would know that they would have great application to questions that would come from Abraham and Sarah's story. So I wrote to them and I told them what the situation was and could we, as a group, come and interview them and ask them these questions.
What a great idea.
Oh my gosh, it's been so much fun. It's been such a variety of people. And sometimes they just want to answer the questions. Sometimes they prepare and they have it. They just can't wait to talk to these girls. So some of them are very career oriented. You know, they're all believers, but they just approached this differently. So anyway, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes.
It's not walking into a coffee shop and mm-hmm. sharing my faith, but I just feel like God has brought the opportunities to me,
mm-hmm.
and it's just kind of living expectantly.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You
being
know?
Open to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want to take it one more level, just real quick. So being the head coach's wife, and you've written this book, The Coach's Wife, what are you doing, in a time where— it's not always politically correct to talk about your faith publicly
mm-hmm.
to people you don't know real well at first, because in athletics, I think you would agree, you get an immediate family that they become family because
mm-hmm.
you're around each other so much, particularly during the season. So you end up getting to know people. But how do you share your faith? Because I think, don't you do a Bible study or do something with the coaches' wives? Or you share?
With our coaches' wives, I don't know. I've seen a big difference. When you live in the city and people don't live close to each other, it's really hard for people
right,
to find
true.
Time.
When
we were in smaller towns, we did it faithfully
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm.
Monday nights when
mm-hmm.
the men were at Booster Club. And then they would come home and then they'd keep the kids and the wives would go to the coffee shop and
mm-hmm.
we'd have our time. It's different as far as—
Right.
But we stay in close communication.
Yes.
I'll tell you— and this isn't to dodge your question, but it's just something that I think is important that's happened on our staff, that happens in families, whether you're working in coaching or other things. In the last 3 years, we've had unbelievable success, but we've also had unbelievable sorrow. We had
yes.
a staff that had the first year we had a 3-year-old daughter die in a swimming pool accident.
Yes, she drowned.
And then, so it was coming alongside her. That was in August, mm-hmm. right as the team was, as the season was starting. Of course, there's the GoFundMe site. There's the unbelievable community rallying around that family. But it meant so much to our coach's family to have a close-knit group. When you talked about, you know, having, they have a coach's outreach Bible study.
Okay.
So the men meet.
Good.
Because they can. They don't have to worry about kids.
Right. And they're all going to be coming to work anyway, right. So that's fantastic.
But that really bonded us. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that the last summer, mm-hmm. in June, we had the first thing that happened, a coach who had been on our staff for 4 years died suddenly mm-hmm. of a heart attack, mm-hmm. and he was 42 years old. Mm-hmm. That
Marley
was in
had
June.
Him for class.
Oh.
She really liked him a
I
lot.
I know it, Coach Reed.
Yep.
So, again, we rallied as yes. much as we could in the summer. And then 3 weeks later, the wife of a coach died in her sleep. Hmm. And she had had, I was aware of some things that she had experienced before that. She was real quiet about mm-hmm. Her illnesses. So she was 43 years old. But her husband on our staff has three children. They have three children. Mm. So they were in fourth, sixth, and eighth grade at the time. All three children have a special need. Mm. So here is a coach that was going to be going back into school in a month. And thankfully, he lives in the district.
Okay.
Close by in an apartment. And so, but as far as the rallying and the sharing your life with each other, you know, your faith comes up to the top.
It really
you know?
Does. Yes. It really does. And so, trying to express and share it and walk people through mm-hmm. times of tragedy that are mm-hmm. just unspeakable.
Mm-hmm. And
really
so many on the staff, you know, volunteered. We'll set up the meal train, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's
yes.
fantastic.
Yes. The community is so important. Mm-hmm. And Vicki and I hope that through this radio show, you know, this will give women some great information, but also, you know, spur them to find a group where
encourage.
You can share
yes.
your life.
You're not alone.
It's very important.
It is. It really is. Another question I have for you, Carolyn, is I know that you go out and speak to other coaches' wives and women, and we'll share with the audience about your website. But can you tell me a little bit more about that and maybe talking about leadership tips or skills or things like that? But mostly, you know, what are you saying when you're reaching out to those women?
Yeah, well, the thing about the website and speaking to women, it's just to make sure that you don't feel like you're alone. You know,
absolutely.
And it's really, I think, harder for a younger generation to feel a need to just go to something just to go to it, you know. And so you kind of have to tie it together with some things like you're going to donate something. There's different ways to do it. But just 2 weekends ago, I was asked to do a program for the Brownwood. It was in Brownwood, Texas, but it was the Pecan Valley FCA. And they had a female coach from Abilene Christian speak to the female coaches, and then I was to speak to the coaches' wives. Well, what I brought was something I had done before that's called the organized coach's wife, which was pretty funny. But, you know, so I had all these stacks of boxes, and then I could just pull my props out of each one, and it was a lot of fun. And but what they did for lunch, I thought was a great idea. They had a cookbook that was by the Crockin' Girls.
Yes,
and so
I know
they
are.
Yes, they had 12 crock pots set up at lunch, and then they just served out of those favorite recipes. And then when the program was over at 2:30, they had to-go boxes prepared with all the leftovers.
Oh,
nice.
Wow, that's really
home.
Nice.
So,
yes.
I mean, I think that short events like that are so important. Getting together and face-to-face conversations rather than just everything being on social media.
Oh, absolutely. So when you speak to them and you're sharing, you're talking about tips from and ways that you have been able to be a successful coach's wife. And and you're smiling. You are a successful
yes.
coach's wife. You're still smiling.
Just,
that's a success.
That's true. Well, just yes. things that have worked.
Right.
You know, I mean, but everybody finds their way. But it's just it all evolves naturally.
Experience.
Yes, experience. Yeah. And that encouragement helps.
So, Carolyn, let everybody know how they can find your book and blog and everything.
Okay. Well, on the website, it's www.thecoacheswife.com, T-H-E-C-O-A-C-H-S-W-I-F-E. There's no apostrophe.
Okay.
Okay. That's the only thing. And anyway, I just have my resources listed there. If there's a coach's wife that wants to join, we call it our huddle, that it's more of a private, safe place that they can meet up and talk to other coaches' wives. That's a lot of fun. That's online, and it's all over the country.
You have to have a password in order for you to participate and sign up through that. So I think that's a fabulous tool so that people can be connected all over the country.
Right. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's so important, as we said, to have that community.
Mm-hmm.
Don't live life without a community of believers that you're growing with and you're talking with and everything. So thank you so much, Carolyn, for joining us. We have enjoyed this great conversation and we have learned a lot.
We have.
Good?
Absolutely.
We've got some tips that we can go back and use
in our lives. You're sitting around before the game
starts. That's right. I will from now on.
Yes. Well, we appreciate Carolyn Allen for joining us on the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show on The Word 100.7 FM. Our show is a ministry of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find out more information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbills.org. You can stay connected with Vicki and myself on our website, ehewradio.com, on social media at ehewradio. And Vicki, again, thank you so much. I would not take this journey without you.
Oh, thank you, sweet friend.
I truly appreciate you. So, ladies, join us back here next Sunday at 6 p.m. on The Word 100.7 FM. I am your host, Carla Nivens. Please have a wonderful week.
Every heart, every woman. Thank you.